Chapter 3. We're going to be talking this morning about the God of second chances. I don't know about you, but I am very, very grateful for second chances. I don't know of anyone who shouldn't be. How many of you would say this morning, I am so glad that God didn't give up on me and He gave me a second chance? Okay? And if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. But in the book of Jonah, this is an incredible book because it's a book of God's sovereignty, that God never loses control of life. It's also a book of God's grace. And it's about God actually chasing us with His grace because we need it, even if we don't realize it sometimes. Now, I'm going to recap, because I want you to understand the flow of this book. The book began with Jonah being named the prophet. Jonah was a minor prophet. What that means is that he spoke for God to the people of Israel. He was a preacher, maybe. He was a called servant of God. He wasn't a pagan. He was a good guy. And yet it's interesting to me, and I want you to always think of Jonah and think about your life. Jonah knew what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to be a prophet for God to Israel. He had it all figured out what God's plan was for his life. But the very book, the very first chapter, the very first verse, we find that God interrupts Jonah. Jonah was just going on with life. And in Jonah chapter 1 and 2, we are told that the Lord spoke to Jonah and He said, Jonah, I want you to go preach repentance to the Ninevites. Now, the Ninevites were the Assyrians. They lived in Nineveh. They were called Ninevites, but they were just, let me help you, they were mean. They were incredibly cruel people. They hated Jews and the Jews hated them. They were known for torturing people. They were known for capturing cities and torturing. They would skin them alive and bury them in sand. And just, it was terrible. They invented the crucifixion. It wasn't the Romans. The Romans stole it from them. But the Assyrians were cruel people. And so when God came to Jonah and He said, hey, Jonah, I want you to go preach repentance to the Ninevites, the Assyrians, His answer is kind of understandable. His answer was no. And you see in the first chapter, instead of going 500 miles to Nineveh, He goes 2,000 miles the opposite direction on a boat for the simple reason that He did not want to preach to them. Anybody but them. And then He tells us later on in the book, in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, why. He did not want to preach to them because He knew. Now get this. He knew that God would forgive them if they repented. He said, Lord, the reason I didn't want to do it was because I knew You would forgive them. So when God said go, Jonah said no. Isn't that the way it is in our lives sometimes? God tells us what He wants us to do and we say no. He goes down to Joppa and He gets on a boat. He pays the fare. He's going 2,000 miles in the opposite direction. He's one of God's chosen people. And what does God do? He sends a storm. The storm that Jonah experienced on the sea was a supernatural storm designed for Jonah to try to get his attention. So they get out there in the boat, and the pagan sailors are saying, somebody has really hacked off their God. Who is it? And they couldn't find Him anywhere because He was downstairs. Long story short, he knew why God was ticked off. He even told them, throw me in the sea. He would rather die than do God's will. Because he hated the Ninevites so much.
So they didn't want to do it. The sailors didn't want to throw him in. But they did.
So God sent a storm to get his attention. The storm didn't get his attention. So God sent a fish, a supernatural fish. We don't know that it was well. I don't care. Here's what I do care. That God loved Jonah so much that when he was running from him, because it says that he was running from the presence of the Lord, that God sent a fish to save him. And being saved by a fish was not a very good way to be saved. It was a supernatural. It would have stunk. It would have been hot. It would have been uncomfortable. But here's what I do know is that Jonah was going down. He was going to die. He thought his life was over. You can read his prayer, and he kind of turned his eyes towards the Lord, and he prayed to the Lord, and God saved him using this fish. Now, here's what I want you to remember, and I talked about this last Sunday. God gives you timeouts in life for a reason. And that reason is to get your attention, to teach you what His will is for your life. Jonah did not want to do God's will, so God sent a storm, God sent a fish, and finally he spent 3 days in a fish until God was able to get his attention. And while he was in that fish towards the end of chapter 2, while he was in that fish, he repented. He said, "Lord, I will do your will." He offered a sacrifice. And when he repented, what did the fish do? Spit him up on the ground. Now here's the interesting thing. He was going this direction, and God used the fish to bring him back to where he started. Now, the parallel that I want you to get this morning is that if you're saved, now if you're not a Christian, this doesn't apply to you because you're running on your own. You're not running from. But if you're a Christian, maybe you made a profession of faith when you were a kid, a teenager. Maybe you've run from God for many years because you didn't want to do it His way. You didn't want to follow His will. And you may be going through some hard times in your life. You may be going through some storms. Maybe you're going through a period of just nothing's going the way you wanted it to go. Don't see that as a negative. See it as a timeout where God maybe is trying to redirect your life in the direction He wants you to go. But here's what happens. We go through hard times. We go through difficulties. And we just go, "I quit. I'll just do it my way. I'm going to keep doing it my way." And we miss the whole lesson. You see, the Bible teaches in Hebrews 12:5 that if God loves us, He will discipline us. He will put us in time out, not to punish us, but to redirect our lives in the direction that He wants us to go. And yet so often, we see the timeouts as painful and God's mad at me. No, God loves you. He's just trying to redirect your life. And what just confuses me is why we are so stubborn. And we just refuse to listen. And we keep on running. We keep on saying, "It's my life. I'm an American and I love my freedom, folks." But let me tell you, freedom is very dangerous if it's not centered in Jesus Christ. Freedom has got our country where it is today. Because we're free to choose, and if we don't allow God to help us with our choices, we make bad choices, right? So then we get to chapter 3 this morning. And I love chapter 3 because chapter 3 is the second chance. And chapter 3 is Jonah's opportunity to get back on route after the timeout. Look at verse 1. Let's look at the whole chapter. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." I love that. A second time. And it's going to come again and again and again and again. You just don't get two chances. God will discipline and continually try to get your attention from now to the day that you die. He says in verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now, I'm just putting my feet in his sandals, his shoes, and I'm thinking, I can understand why a Jewish boy would not want to go to the Assyrians and preach against them. Because those tortures that they were famous for would be designed for him. I can kind of understand running. But it says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And then I love verse 3. Because see, you either learn in time out to do the right thing or you keep doing the wrong thing. But he learned at this point. It says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone urgently call on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn his fierce anger so that we will not perish. But when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. It did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Well, let's look. What do you do when you come out of timeout? What do you do when God gives you a second chance? Well, you take advantage of it. God will give you a second chance. If you're a believer, if you're running from God's plan, if you're running from His presence, I promise you, God is going to spank you. He's going to get your attention with some storm, something, and you will either obey or disobey. But I do know He will give you a second chance. The word of the Lord came a second time. Now, people, listen to me. I'm just trying to be practical here. How in the world can you listen to Him if you never read the Bible, listen to the Bible, listen to messages or Bible? How in the world is God going to speak to you if you don't turn to the way that He speaks? You see, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And I know this with all my heart, that God wants to speak to us, to me, to you, over and over. You got to read your Bible. Don't tell me you don't have time. You do not have time not to read, not to listen. God came and He said, listen, go. Now, I think it's interesting when you put the verse 1 and 2 of chapter 1 alongside this, you will see that the call didn't change. He's still supposed to go to Nineveh. I mean, it's the second chance to go there. He didn't go the first time. But the thing I love is that when you're disobedient, when I'm disobedient, God doesn't give up on those people. He gives us a second chance. And we will either take advantage of it or we will not take advantage of it. He calls a time out in your life and my life to try to get your attention. See, He's sovereign. You see, I love this passage because God is all about second chance. You flip over to the New Testament and you have the teachings about the grace of Jesus Christ. And the cross is all about second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Because when He died on the cross for your sins, He died on the cross for every sin you will commit. That's the gospel. That's the good news. It's about grace. When you run from God, He runs after you. Now, it's just like my mom, when she caught me getting in the street, when she told me not to get in the street, she switched my legs. But she switched my legs because she loved me. And I'm just amazed how many people run from God and they don't realize they need to run to Him. He's given them a second chance. Now look at the Old Testament. Moses, you know, raised in royalty, but he was a Hebrew. And he got really into some trouble because he saw an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew. And what did he do to the Egyptian? He killed him. And what happened after that? 40 years in timeout. 40 years in timeout. When he came out of timeout, he led the people of God. You see, God's not punishing. He's just trying to correct you sometimes. What about David? Did God give David a second chance? He gave David many chances. Now, please understand, David did not just commit adultery, but he committed premeditated murder. But what did God give David? A second chance. Go read Psalm 51. See, we want to give second chances if the sin's not too bad. But here's the deal. Grace covers any sin, people, and you better be glad for that. What about Peter? Did he get a second chance? Sure did. He denied the Lord after promising Him He would not deny Him. And God gave him a second chance. Now see, the problem with the church and the problem with Christians in the church, it's not that God doesn't give us second chances. It's the problem is we don't take them. We keep on running. We keep on going and doing it our way. You see, Jonah was a prophet of God who chose to run. And God ran after him and gave him a second chance. Not too long ago, and I shared this, I think, before, but we went and played putt-putt in Hot Springs. Man, before the game started, I established the mulligan rule. Because there comes a point when you're playing putt-putt or golf, you need at least one mulligan. And I was just cruising along. I was doing great. I was feeling good about my chances of winning. Because that is important to me. And then we got to a hole, and I blew it. Man, my life goes down if you don't have a mulligan. Because it's, I mean, if it's supposed to take two and you take five, you've got some tough putting to do ahead of you. But we had the mulligan rule. So guess what? I went up there and got my ball and came back and did it over again. The only problem was I didn't have enough mulligans. God gives you more mulligans than I set up. Next time I'm going to have unlimited mulligans, but that's a whole different... So here's my question for you. You were here this morning. You may be getting spanked. You may be in timeout. You may be thinking, poor me, God hates me. No, He does not hate His chosen ones. If you know Him, He loves you. But you may be in timeout. You may be going through a storm. The question is, God, what do I need to learn? What am I missing here? What is Your plan? What is Your game plan? What do I need to change? What do I need to do? Take advantage of the second chance. You better be glad God doesn't answer all your prayers. Because if He did, you'd be in trouble. God is the God. Maybe you've blown it in the past. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's an affair. Maybe it's divorce. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Doesn't matter. What will you do with your second chance? Are you listening to the Word of God? What is God trying to say to you? And if you don't read your Bible, you don't know.
Maybe God is trying to give you a second chance. Don't miss the second chance. I want to give you a verse that you need to memorize. You need to know by heart because it's the second chance verse. It's from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is a book of probabilities. It's not promises. People think it's promises. There's no promises. But in Proverbs 24:16, one of my favorite verses, it says this. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. I can promise you, you will fall. I can't promise you, you will rise again. It goes on to say, but the wicked are brought down by their calamity. This morning is your second chance. What will you do with it? Second thing, running from God does not change His plans for you. You see, Jonah ran from God because he didn't like God's plan for him. And yet when you run from God, it doesn't change God's plan for you. God still said you're going to Nineveh. And a lot of times we think if we run from God, He'll change the game plan. But He won't. He has a plan for your life, a purpose for your life. And this plan for your life may not be easy. It may be risky. It may be dangerous. For Jonah to go to Nineveh was risky and dangerous. You see, Christians, we tend to think the only plan God has is the safe plan. It's not. Sometimes it's dangerous. If I remember right, He said, "You must be willing to die for me." I've heard people say, "Well, I could never go to the mission field. I might get killed." Really? I'm glad some other people didn't follow that advice. God's plan doesn't change just because you run from them. They may be risky. And we, as Americans, tend to choose the path of the least resistance. But what I love about verse 3 is that it says, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. So I don't care what you think. My concern is, are you obeying what God tells you to do? We're kind of like children sometimes. If you're a child of God, you're just like a parent and a young child. And one of the things children are notorious about doing is when they don't want to do what their parents tell them to do, they throw a temper tantrum, right? And the parents a lot of time put them in time out during the temper tantrum in hopes that they'll quit crying, right? But how many times have I seen parents, and have I been that parent, who if they don't quit crying, we change the game plan? We let the offense slide. That's bad parenting. The whole point of timeout, the whole point of discipline is to change behavior. If your kid doesn't change behavior, your plan is incorrect from the beginning. I mean, you've got the same game plan from God regardless of what you think. And yet Christians who are grown in the Lord, been Christians for many years, throw temper tantrums because they don't want to do what God wants them to do. God doesn't change His plan for your life just because you throw a temper tantrum. The plan's still the same. What is that plan? Well, in Romans 8:29, you have the plan number one. It never changes, folks. This plan will never change. You're to become like Jesus. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son." Now, you might have been in first grade, second grade, junior high, high school when you accepted Christ, but whether you knew it or not, the plan has always been for you to become like Jesus. So look at your life today and say, is the plan working or not? But the other part of His plan for your life that never, ever, ever, ever changes is for you to make disciples. Not the church, not your pastor, but the Scripture is very clear in Matthew 28:19-20. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations." That never changes.
We're supposed to make disciples of every single person in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world. It never changes. You say, well, I'm shy. Doesn't matter. God's plan has always been to reach the world through His children. And yet a lot of times we don't like that plan. We got better plans for our life than being serious. I used to think there were levels in the church. The real serious, the kind of serious, the not so serious, and the ones saved by grace who did whatever they wanted. Well, I'm not sure about that bottom layer anymore, because God never saved you to do whatever you wanted. So the game plan doesn't change, but let me just ask you, how's it going? I worry about me. I don't worry about you. I have to ask questions, because I'm either becoming more like Christ and trying to share the gospel, or I'm not. The plan has never changed. Didn't change for Jonah. Didn't change for you and me. How's it going for you? Third thing. I like this. God's message is your message. It was short and simple. You say, that's the shortest sermon. Bill, I would repent if you would preach that short. Well, that was an ordained special prayer sermon, I guess. I don't know. But it was short and simple. They knew Jonah was a Jew. They knew he served the God Yahweh. He came and said, repent. They repented. One of the things I had to learn in ministry a long time ago when I went to my first church in Horatio is that I'm responsible to just proclaim the message they gave me. I remember going as a young pastor and thinking, oh my goodness, if I preach that book of the Bible, I'm going to offend everybody in the room. Because I knew some of the sins. Then I realized I'm just supposed to proclaim the message regardless of who's there. The message did, you know, I realized that every single, I started looking at the books of the Bible, what I would preach, and I started realizing, oh my goodness, I'm going to offend somebody every Sunday. And I probably do. But I can't help it. Because here's what I've had to learn. My message is never my message. My goal is to try to share what God's put on my heart to share. And it must be His message or it's the wrong message. It's the same for you and me. We're all called to share the good news, not the bad news. The good news is Jesus died for your sins. He died in your place. He took your place. That's all good news. You don't need to proclaim being a Baptist, Methodist, whatever brand. You need to proclaim the good news that Jesus died on the cross for me. That's good news, and for you. God's message is your message. Just be sure you understand that. A lot of it today is we're proclaiming things that have nothing to do with God. Your message is God's message. Fourth thing, your obedience will affect other people. You see, we don't realize this sometimes, but our obedience affects other people. Our disobedience affects other people as well. And Jonah was running away from the Lord, and when he was in that boat, it affected the sailors in that boat. But it affected even more the city of Nineveh, because he did not proclaim to the city of Nineveh the plan that God had for him. Your obedience will either bless someone and help someone, or your disobedience will hurt them greatly. Jonah, we are told, simply obeyed. He delivered the message. We are told in verse 5 that they believed God. And they didn't just believe God, they started fasting. They even made the animals fast. Peter would have been real upset. They wouldn't feed the dogs and the cattle and food or water. Everybody fasted. Because you know what? They were concerned about this God, the God Yahweh that Jonah served. And the amazing thing is you read in those verses, what happened was, They changed. But the principle to me, the biblical principle is this, and it's true. Your obedience will affect others. And this is the negative side. Your disobedience will affect others. Either way, you choose. So if God tells you to do something and you don't do it, it affects other people. And if God tells you to do something and you do it, it affects other people. So my question, I just keep asking questions. Julie says I ask too many questions. My question is, what are you not doing? Now please understand, before I ask you the question, I ask myself that question. What are you not doing? What has God told you to do that you keep running from? Just understand, you may be affecting somebody else eternally with your disobedience. God gives us second chances to bless people, but unfortunately we hinder people. But here's the last thing, and I'm done. Change. One reason to have a second chance, change. That's why I give second chances. Look at verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, what did He do? He had compassion. Just what Jonah was upset about. He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. You see, God is a patient, compassionate God who's waiting on you and me to change when He spanks us, when He puts us in time out. And I'm sure just like parents get with their kids, you say to yourself, I don't understand why they won't get it. And I'm sure God's thinking, I just don't know why they don't get it. The good news of Jesus Christ should always lead to a lifestyle of change. The gospel leads you to turning from sin to Him. Unfortunately, today, we just change the rules for what our sins are and say, oh, it's okay. It's okay to tell this little lie. It's okay to do this. I'll just call this sin not sin. No, folks, it doesn't matter what you say. Sin's sin. You just have to accept it or deny it. You see, the gospel's meant to change us. Change our behavior, our attitudes, our actions. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this so clearly. Godly sorrow brings repentance. Another word for repentance is change. That leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Do you mean I can be sorry about doing something wrong and still not change? Absolutely, it happens every day. Repentance means change. And when we look at the second chance, the whole reason of having the second chance was so Jonah would change, and he did. I wish I could say he changed permanently, but Jonah struggled. Just like I struggle, just like you struggle. Do you need a second chance? I find people have been saying, I'm going to either get baptized someday, join a church someday, do this someday. Listen, God gives you second chances to do it. And you either do or you don't. Jonah is a hero today. Next week, not so much. Isn't that like you and me? Mountaintop to valley in 24 hours. But here's what I do know. God may have you where you are this morning. You may think it's the worst thing that happened to you. It may be the best thing that ever happened to you. It all depends whether you obey or disobey. It all depends whether you listen or not listen. So I'm thankful for Jonah. At least he listened in chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You sometimes have to put us in time out. I thank You, Lord, that You sometimes have to spank us. I thank You, Lord, that You sometimes make us feel like the world's coming to an end. But if we just would turn to You and get the game plan and get back on schedule, You won't solve all our problems. You'll solve all the inside problems that we have. Father, I pray for First Baptist Mount Ida, I feel that you've given us second and third chances to reach this community. And we either will or we won't. You've given us second chances to live for you. We either will or we won't. And Lord, the beautiful thing is that even when we won't, you keep chasing us. As one guy said, you're the hound of heaven. Just help us to be like Jonah and obey. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.